Greetings, Alpha Seekers. Welcome to the big Election Day edition of the Nugent Ventures podcast. So what prompted me to hop on here is Bloomberg. There's a guy named Matt Levine who's been off on parental leave, but he's back. He went on leave in August, and now he's back. So he does a column called Money Stuff, and Bloomberg protects their content so well that I can't just put this out on the exciting Nugent Ventures LinkedIn company page. So I have to read it, basically. And, well, that's what a podcast is good for, right? So he talks about something that is amazing. The fact that the trial bar has found yet another way to make money, which is to sue companies for securities fraud on behalf of the shareholders. And you can find, basically what he's saying is that you can envision a world where everything is securities fraud. Like, he talks about a company called CD Projekt SA, which makes a video game called Cyberpunk 2077. It's Polish. And, you know, there's some flaws in the game. It was glitchy. So they're suing them for misleading material statements, materially misleading shareholder statements. So the shareholders were deceived when they bought the stock. Now, you know, shareholders being deceived by buying a stock is like, happens every day, right? So, you know, if you buy a stock and it goes down, is that shareholder fraud? So, companies are now sued for securities fraud over global warming, customer data breaches, sexual harassment, mistreatment of killer whales. And so you can add the social justice war agenda into the mix here. And so the trial bar, which of course is very much an appendage of the Democratic Party, which of course is the Progressive Party, you know, can get lots of warm fuzzies politically from suing companies into conforming to whatever the social justice ESG agenda is. So this is very interesting. Companies tend to make a lot of optimistic announcements about products, and those announcements matter to shareholders. So if you say you're really excited about our new product, which will be good, and the product's bad, then you're lying to shareholders. Well, you know, we think this product's going to sell well, and it doesn't. That's a lie? No, that's an error. We thought it was going to sell well. And so I guess part of the way you'll do this is to, you know, put more legal weasel words in your announcements. But, you know, these cases are so expensive to defend that basically you write a check to the lawyers so they go away. There's a paper from Emily Strauss of Duke Law School titled, "Is Everything Securities Fraud?" And securities litigation is virtually inevitable for any public company. So another thing this is going to encourage companies to do is stay private, you know? And what she's saying is what's interesting is that it's not people who get hurt or damaged by the product or the behavior. It's the shareholders who are the, you know, party with stature, sufficient to sue because their stock went down. That also encourages you to manipulate the stock so it goes up, right? With buybacks and everything else. So this explains a lot of corporate behavior when you think about it. She found that 16% of securities class actions arise from conduct where the most direct victims are not shareholders. But these cases have roughly a 20% lower likelihood of being dismissed and settle for significantly higher amounts. And then even if the stock goes up, you can make the argument it would have gone up further. So, you know, this is just like a shakedown in my view. But it will, you know, influence corporate behavior. Like Pinterest got sued for a toxic work environment, culture discrimination, sued by the shareholders, not the employees, because employment law is tricky, right? And the price for the stock was at an all-time high, but the case argued that it would have been higher if it wasn't for all this stuff, which nobody probably ever heard about until they filed the suit. So it's a self-fulfilling publicity prophecy, and they won a $310 million settlement. That hasn't been settled, but they shook down Alphabet Inc. on a similar theory. So this is bizarre. So there's some other stories in here that are not as compelling, so I'll skip those. But that's something I wanted to share. So you can see the intersection of politics and law and business and investing. So people say, well, don't talk about politics, but, you know, politics drives law, law drives shares, and that's what we try to invest in here. So it's all one thing, as Bill Clinton used to say, one big fabric. Now, the market is behaving pretty well today, just kind of unch. The VIX is down a little, and the VIX is it's down 2%. The volatility index, meaning how much people are paying to insure their positions on the S&P. So that's all right. Bitcoin at 33,000, unbelievable. I have spoken and thought a lot about that and what that means, and I got into a dialogue today about it on Alpha, Seeking Alpha, which is one of my resources, and there's some good stuff and some not-so-good stuff out there. But, you know, I had said that this Bitcoin thing is subject to the whims of the government, and I never really like to be involved with something, you know, that could be eliminated with the stroke of a pen. And I got some pushback on that. And my counter was, look, I don't know if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but it strikes me that there's two things that sovereign states like. They like a monopoly on force, and they like a monopoly on money, because force and money are both power. And, of course, a state, a sovereign state, likes power. That's the business they're in. So if you take away one of their legs that they stand on, which is the ability to print money to buy, you know, arms and other stuff and buy votes through, you know, socialist policies, then they're going to take exception to that. Now, we have a big change of administration coming here, possibly huge, if the Senate flips. And I just can't get into this whole crypto thing, because I think they could pass some rules that would just wipe it out. And I think that's probably in their interest, frankly, because if you start to measure everything against Bitcoin, then in effect you've got a new gold standard. And, you know, you can't mine any more Bitcoin, I guess, and you can't mine any more gold than, you know, I'd rather have gold, I guess. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter. It ties the fiat currency to a finite supply of some commodity, whether it be gold or Bitcoin or whatever. I don't think these countries like that. And they haven't since 1932. So anyway, that's my thought. But from what I'm hearing on CNBC, at least the longer-term investors are not concerned about today's election one way or the other. Because if stocks go down on political news, Josh Brown says, hey, I got guys with a 20 to 70-year time frame. I'm a buyer. The only thing I'm looking for is what to buy in the dip. And his buying shopping list is travel stocks. Not airlines, but travel stocks. So, you know, I mean, that's reasonable, and I get it. you know, if you look at a chart of the S&P going back to 1929, you know, elections don't really make that much difference. And in fact, there are those who argue the market does better. And there's trade-offs. If, you know, taxes will probably go up, but so will stimulus and infrastructure and all that. So, you know, there's cross currents in it. It is not necessarily all bad for the markets. You have more regulation, higher taxes, offset by higher fiscal stimulus, which I think everybody agrees has been needed. The Fed has done a lot, too much maybe, but the Treasury, the Congress has not. So we'll see what happens. And it could be gridlocked just because you get like a Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who's conservative, even though he's a Democrat. He's kind of like an old boll weevil. And, you know, it's you're going to have to get some Republicans to go along with you, maybe, which they won't. And if you can't get Joe Manchin and some of the more conservative Democrats to vote something in the Senate, then you can't pass it, even with a simple majority. I mean, they've got a one-vote majority if, you know, the vice president votes. So she's the tiebreaker. And even she's not that left. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's a very significant election. But that's pretty much the consensus, that it's not that big a deal. I think they're kind of underestimating that. So, yeah, the Democrats are promising $2,000 stimulus checks, so you can just go ahead and buy votes right out right now. You know, you used to have to go give guys walking around money, buy them a bottle of booze, but now you just say, hey, we're going to send you $2,000. Well, fine, I'll take it. You know. So, anyway, that's today's report. I will be back tomorrow, assuming I remember to do it, and I'm not too lazy. So wish me luck, live long, prosper, and stay safe. Bye-bye.